Good afternoon. This is Kathleen McCoy, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska. Our topic today is tattoos. Why? Because we see tattoos everywhere, and we're curious about them. And our angle today is actually the stories behind tattoos. They're a visual representation. What do they mean? So we have two wonderful guests in the studio today. I'd like to welcome Lauren Caruso, who studies biology.
Yes,
and in fact, moose, and among other things. And James Allen, who is a tattoo artist locally at the Anchorage Tattoo Studio.
Anchorage Tattoo Studio, yes.
Right.
Thanks for having me.
So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Now, I also want to invite our callers to participate in this program because it's your stories that we also want to hear. We've got some good stories lined up, but if you have a tattoo, why did you get it? Is there a story behind your tattoo? Did you have regret about your tattoo? And you can call and tell us about it. Here's the number. It's 550-8433. Or if you're outside of Anchorage, it's 1-888-353-5752. You can also send us an email if you're shy. And if you do send us an email and you'd like to send us a photo of your tattoo, we would love to see it, especially if we're going to talk about it. We might find a way to get it up on the website so people can also see it. So that would be at hometown@alaskapublic.org. This program airs again tonight at 7, but right now is the only time you can call in. And you can archive this program, pull it off and save it if you really love it, from alaskapublic.org. I'd also send you to our website because promoting this program, we added a lot of links about the history of tattoos and some local coverage of tattoo art. And we also have a couple of photographs there. We have one of Lauren, actually two of Lauren's, and two photos of another tattoo from EJ David. And we'll be talking about those. So if you want to see what those look like, please come to alaskapublic.org and click on Hometown Alaska, and you can see what we're talking about. And maybe you'll be motivated to send us a picture of your tattoo. We'd love that. So anyway, welcome back to my guests. And one of the things I wanted to just throw out there for our audience to think about and you guys to think about, I did a little bit of research, both in popular reading, but also in sociology. And one fact that was thrown out there by a sociologist is that 90% of tattooed folks have one discrete tattoo, a little flower, a little symbol that means something to them. And about 10% are the tattooed, people who might have a whole back or a sleeve or a project. Now, I just wonder whether our audience thinks that's the case. We know that more and more people are getting tattoos. We see more and more people getting tattoos. The other thing that I thought was interesting from my reading, and then we're going to jump right into James, was that tattoo popularity has ebbed and flowed. And if you look at the historical record, there have been times when wealthy people got lots of tattoos in England in the late 1800s when they were expensive and sort of exclusive. But once, you know, the mechanical tools were developed and the electric needle came along and they were less expensive to get, suddenly they weren't cool for wealthy people to have and the working class got them. So, you know, that goes back and forth. Nowadays, I'd love to hear from our audience and from our guests who we think are getting tattooed. So, James, I want to go to you. You're sort of an icon of the local tattoo community because of your family. So tell us about that.
Well, my father started Anchorage Tattoo Studio in 75. He'd been apprenticing to tattoo in L.A. and traveling back and forth from the mid-60s. And in 75, he quit a good job with the FAA to start tattooing full-time and started Anchorage Tattoo Studio. His name is Larry Allen, I'm sure.
It's on the sign, which is, I would drive down Northern Lights and pass that, and it has a big symbol of, or a needle, really.
Yeah, 18-foot tattoo machine,
yes.
35 feet in the sky.
Something not intimidating at all, though.
Yeah. You're going to put that on my arm?
That's right.
So I just had to drive in there. When I knew I was going to do a program on tattoos, I just had to wheel into your parking lot and come in and say, anybody want to be on the radio? So that's how James got here. And you've got a little sense of the history of tattoo in this community. Your dad might have been one of the first.
He was certainly not the first. When he moved up to Alaska in the mid-60s, there was a guy tattooing downtown named Bud. He'd had a shop off of 4th Avenue for quite a number of years. Prior to him, there'd been a couple other tattoo artists that had come and gone. But the 40s through the 60s, American tattooing, particularly on the West Coast, the tattoo artists traveled constantly. They'd step onto a steamship and just go to the next port. You know, perhaps they'd run themselves out of clients, tattoo everybody in the immediate area, perhaps they'd run themselves out of town one way or another.
A little run-in with the law.
And so steamships took them from, you know, San Diego, San Francisco, L.A., all the way up to Anchorage. And then from Anchorage, they'd take the rail up to Fairbanks or work in any surrounding communities. So quite a number of artists worked
to Anchorage.
So they're kind
of they were itinerant, at least in the early days, somewhat. Now, were you at your dad's knee as a seven-year-old, or what was your exposure to tattoos as a young fellow?
I very much grew up in the studio. My parents didn't do daycare, really, so at summer times or after schools, I was down at the studio in the back room, coloring Flash.
Which, why don't you tell me what Flash is?
Flash is the art that we keep on the walls, all the pictures and ideas for...
Sort of choose a tattoo kind
of... Yeah, the old pick it and stick it idea, but still a good representation of just different ideas for people to come and browse it. We still have plenty of it up, but...
But early on, you were not such a fan of tattoo yourself, personally?
It wasn't that I wasn't such a fan. It's just that when you grow up in the industry, it's not... unique or different or strange.
It's like what your mom and dad do, so you don't want to do that.
Yeah, I wasn't inclined to become a tattoo artist then. I just was, you know, it was always part of my life. I always wanted to be tattooed, but I didn't realize that I'd go into the industry until somewhere in high school.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to you, Lauren, a little bit. I saw Lauren when I was sitting in an auditorium and I caught a glimpse of your shoulder, and I saw this really interesting script on your shoulder. So I said, gosh, I'm doing a show on tattoos, you know. And it turned out you had some interesting stories. So I just want you to sort of tell us about.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. So the script that you saw on my shoulder is a quote by the Dalai Lama, Tenzin Gyatso, who's the current and 14th Dalai Lama. And that quote, there's not too much of a story behind that one, but there are two other tattoos I have that I just got earlier this year that I did want to tell a story about, and these photos are also posted on the website.
Before we jump into those, do you have the quote memorized, since some people might not?
Oh, gosh, I think I do. It says, "We humans are the only species with the capacity to destroy the earth as we know it. The birds have no such power, nor do the insects, nor any other mammal. Yet if we have the capacity to destroy the earth, so too do we have the capacity to protect it."
Okay. That says a lot right there.
It does. Yeah. It's sort of self-explanatory. So
Yes.
But it sort of relates to the story that I'm going to tell about the other two tattoos. So the two that I'm going to talk about are posted on the website. There are two photos of magpies. And on my right pelvis, I have a Sri Lanka blue magpie. And on my left pelvis, I have a black-billed magpie, which most people here in Anchorage are familiar with. They're sort of known as pests, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But they have a totally different meaning to me. So it's kind of a longer story, but there's a couple different parts to it. The first part, which explains the black-billed magpie, is that I grew up in Colorado, where the state bird is the lark bunting. And the males of this species have all black plumage and a white wing patch, which if you're a non-birder, which I was at the time, I was horrible at identifying birds, then these two sort of kind of resemble each other in their coloration, the lark bunting to the magpie. But even though we also had magpies in Colorado, they don't typically live in the areas where I lived in the high upland wooded forests. So I didn't really see them until I moved here to Anchorage. And when I first saw them, I thought, wow, the lark buntings are really huge here, you know, not realizing, of course, that they were a totally different species. Uh-huh. Since then, I've kind of become a bit of a bird nerd, and magpies have become one of my favorite birds. They're very intelligent, being members of the crow family. So I knew I wanted a tattoo of one. So the other half to the story is that I was born and raised Christian, but even as a child, I was very skeptical of certain organized religions, including Christianity. So when I was about 16, I started researching other religions, and I became very interested in Buddhism. Not so much to the extent of wanting to convert, but I was really into Buddhist philosophy, and I realized that it totally lined up with my own beliefs. So this is why all of my tattoos so far have a Buddhist theme, which the quote, of course, is by the Dalai Lama. So I then researched bird species that are endemic to Buddhist and Hindu nations, and I just happened to stumble upon this beautiful bird, the Sri Lanka blue magpie, which is currently declining due to loss of habitat, which I think sort of makes the story even more interesting. So I chose to get tattoos of both species as sort of a representation of the dichotomy of my beliefs and values. So the black-billed magpie is symbolic of, you know, where I came from, my family, my childhood, and my moral foundation, whereas the blue magpie is symbolic of my transition into adulthood and my passion for preserving nature. So the very final piece of the story is that I intentionally positioned the magpies to have their backs turned towards one another, but with their heads rotated so they're looking at each other. And it's just opposite on the website, so you can imagine them just being flipped. But this is to represent basically the many conflicts that young people experience when they're sort of going through that phase of self-discovery, which of course I did, and also as a symbol for one of the major quests of Buddhism, which is to end suffering through eliminating ignorance and hatred. So the birds may be symbolic of two conflicting ideas, but they can still peacefully coexist, as I believe people could if we were to set aside our religious differences. So obviously a lot went into these tattoos.
Wow.
But
I asked for a story, yeah. And I got a story. Yeah, so there's a lot in there for mm-hmm. you. It makes me think that a good topic might be one of that we have a lot of people in Alaska who have Alaska tattoos. Mm-hmm. Now, they may not have as much of a story behind mm-hmm. them as you, but you see a lot of them. I see people with the state of Alaska on their shoulder, or 907, mm-hmm. or a polar bear. And I mean, you have a sense of place in one of your birds from your home.
With the black-billed magpie. Even though they, even though I didn't see them as a child, I thought that they were lark buntings when I first moved here, and then I realized I was terribly mistaken. So yeah, I can definitely feel that sense of home in the black-billed magpie,
right.
And then the Sri Lanka blue magpie is a sense of, myself and who I've become.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to ask James, how often, I see a lot of Alaska tattoos, and I even saw, we've got a link to this on the website, to the Anchorage Daily News' Alaska themed tattoos, where you just see everything. How common is that for you? Are you putting a lot of those on people, and what do they say when they get them?
It is definitely very common. We do a ton of it. Actually, we do quite a bit more of it this time of year, as everybody's getting prepared to leave state for college, or different groups of friends are breaking up and traveling to different parts of the nation. And so they're all getting their Alaska tattoo to commemorate their experience here, or to take a piece of it with them as they travel outside. And we see a variety of a full spectrum of what they get done, from just the simple state silhouettes, lettering saying anything AK Pride, 907, Alaska, to very elaborate, very well thought out pieces like Lauren's pieces mm-hmm. with the magpies.
Very, very thoughtful.
Myself, I have a chest panel of Raven. Likewise, I've been a big fan of corvids and very intelligent birds.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of my childhood, part of where I grew up in the mountains near Anchorage here, and they always fly overhead every day, and just beautiful, majestic creatures. Also, I grew up with the folklore of them, living in Alaska my whole life, hearing all of the indigenous stories.
Mm-hmm.
Raven is creator, Raven is trickster, and it's been very much a part of my soul. So I have a picture of Raven as well as a caricature of a Tlingit-style Raven Man set in the front range of Anchorage's mountains here, in the front range of the Chugach. And so, you get a lot of depth in the stories.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of variety in what people get for...
Wow. Well, boy, two great stories right off the bat. I just want to remind folks, if they've just tuned in, tattoos are our topic today, and we're specifically looking for the stories behind tattoos. But if you've got any questions about tattoos, please feel free to call 550-8433 or 1-888-353-5752 if you're outside Anchorage. Or, as I mentioned at the top, we're interested in seeing your tattoos out there in Radioland. And if you want to email us one to hometown@alaskapublic.org and tell us the story about it, we'd love to see it. I did want to mention that one of the radio personalities here at KSK was so excited about the show that she, as she put it, tatted up for the show. And as I came in to do the show, she showed me all her tattoos, and she had, about a dozen of them on. And she's a fan of removable tattoos. And so I just wanted, that's Connie Huff, and you hear her on the radio all the time. So thanks, Connie, for supporting our show on tattoos. So another thing you get at, Lauren, is mm-hmm. kind of a spiritual, maybe you wouldn't use the word spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a better word for you, but a transcendent occupation with the tattoo and what it means, the symbolism of it. Is spirituality a good word for that, or what do you think?
Maybe. I don't consider myself to be a very spiritual person, and I certainly don't consider myself to be a religious person. But for me, it's sort of a philosophy on, how I live my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, Buddhism, although I am not Buddhist, and I did not convert to Buddhism when I was young, it is a way of living for me, and just, you know, following some of those ideals and some of those philosophies. So yeah, it's definitely symbolic of something much bigger than just this is where I came from and, you know, this is what I started to like when I became older. It really, you know, is symbolic of how my life has changed and the things that are important to me now as an adult, mm-hmm. And with the, you know, with the type of work that I do in conservation as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, being a biologist and worrying about declining species. And would be very sad if the last image we had, you know, was on you as opposed to a live bird.
Right.
I hope we don't come to that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm curious, James, do people come in with religious ideas or spiritual ideas to get a tattoo?
Certainly, all the time. Any form of iconography from the Christian and Catholic sets, I've tattooed Sacred Hearts and images of the Virgin Mary, plenty of crucifixes, Christ on the cross, etc. From other spiritualities, I've tattooed a bunch of different stuff. Symbols and mandalas from Eastern religions, ancient European religions, Wiccan and Celtic. In fact, the Picts were a particular sect of Gaelic Celtic people in the Ireland area.
Those are my people.
Were heavily tattooed. Mine as well. They tattooed themselves for religious or for magical purposes, if you will, the different symbols of protection and strength and different. You know, people are still practicing very similar ideas. They come in with either ancient pictures and the idea of the representation behind it, runes or Viking-related images. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them believing that it gives them power. Some of them just interested in it as an image of artwork.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I want to open up the notion of sometimes, you know, people who deal with medicine aren't so fond of the idea that you're going to get your skin pricked. So I want to talk about how safe it is. What are the regulations? You know, let's talk a little bit about that. How do you know you're in a good place? Maybe, Lauren, you had some ideas about it. I want to make sure I'm in the right kind of place. So, you know, Larry, I called you Larry. I'm sorry.
it happens all the time, actually.
I'm so sorry. You know, what kinds of things do you have to abide by?
Well, these days we are completely health board regulated. Most states are, and it's all independent from state to state. But the way that our stations and our studios themselves are cleaned and sanitized, that's all strictly regulated. The way that our needles are sterilized prior to use, disposed of afterwards, all of our tubes and machines and all of the other equipment that we use is all completely sterilized or sanitized. It's all documented with health board procedures.
Does the health department come out and take a look?
We're annually inspected. They come out and go through our everything and make sure that everything is right up to snuff. If ever a complaint is filed with the Department of Environmental Conservation, in case anybody out there has something they need to complain about, health or sanitary-wise, the Department of Environmental Conservation is who you need to contact. Mm-hmm. And then they will come and do another inspection and determine the cause of whatever the problem is.
Right. And when you and I met a little bit earlier, I remembered a news story about a state legislator's daughter. There were few regulations on the books for a while.
Prior to the year 2000, we actually had no laws pertaining to tattooing in the state of Alaska. Most other states had adopted health board regulations in the last 30 years, but, I mean, even the use of gloves in tattooing was not common in the 70s. Hmm. The entire concept of sterilization and universal precautions and infection control has been slowly growing out of probably the 1940s is when the first ideas about clean or sterile tattooing came around.
Now, do you go to tattoo conventions? I mean, does the tattoo profession get together and discuss trends and, you know?
Quite a bit.
Are they international?
There are national ones. There are international ones. In much larger urban areas, there are local ones. For the most of my life, the conventions were exclusively industry forums where, you know, a few clients would go to try and find better tattoo artists, but mostly it was just for industry professionals to come together and exchange information, you know, again, sterilization procedures, inks, equipment, artwork. Mm-hmm. Over the years, those have grown into more of a customer-based freak show, perhaps, lack of a better word.
Really? Do they actually have displays? I mean,
they always do contests and competitions and all types of stuff. And there's a bunch of old carnival tattooists who are still kicking, but unfortunately a dying breed. Mm-hmm. You often see sword swallowing and pinheads type of...
The carnival kind of, yeah.
Yes, all the old elements of carnival tattooing. They're still present at the tattoo conventions.
Well, one of the things I wanted to get at in the program, and both of you probably have something to contribute here, is the idea of getting ink, you know, crossing the threshold and getting something indelible on your body. Is that something you have a conversation with for you, James? Is that a tip? You know, someone comes in and they're kind of interested, but they don't know if they really want to do this?
All the time. Yes, people come in sometimes just to browse, look at images and artwork, get a feel for a place. Sometimes people come in with half an idea and no idea how to develop it further. Just need a sounding board, someone with solid information for them to bounce their ideas off and start to refine them and figure out how it can become a viable tattoo and they can get their idea expressed.
Mm-hmm. And there's probably, maybe a half a dozen shops in town?
Somewhere around there. A few, perhaps.
And Eagle River, I know there's one. And in your place, there are studios and different artists in different studios. So if someone walks in not knowing, like maybe you did, maybe you walked in not knowing who you were going to select, or how did you find your tattoo artist?
Well, I'll start off by saying I've been tattooed at, I think, 6 different shops now, not here in Anchorage, but between Denver, San Diego, and Anchorage, I've gone to, I think, 6 shops for all the work I've had done. And I always get recommendations from friends. So I never go someplace that, you know, that I'm not familiar with or that I haven't heard about. Usually I will, you know, see a friend's tattoo that I really like, and maybe it's a style that I really enjoy. For example, you know, if I'm looking for someone that does nature tattoos, then, you know, I'll ask them, oh, where'd you get that done? You know, it's a really cool piece. And then I will go talk to that artist in person. But I'm extremely organized with my tattoo ideas, and not only do I put a lot of thought into them for maybe, you know, 6 to 12 months prior.
6 to 12 months, wow.
Yeah, because I want to make sure I really want it, you know.
Yeah.
But I also go in with a very detailed, you know, image of this is what I'm looking for, and then talk to the artist about, you know, maybe what their strengths are. And, you know, if they happen to not be the right artist, then they'll recommend me to someone who would be a better artist.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it's usually kind of a longer process for me to find out where I'm going to go and what the right place is going to be to go to.
Right. When I was researching, I heard a lot of people tell me who had tattoos. I'd say, why did you get them? Why do you like it? And they would often talk about the relationship with their tattoo artist as being something they really valued. Intimate in a kind of way, because it's just that. So I want to go to you, James, and ask you, you know, is that a common experience where you actually develop kind of a close relationship?
Very much so. I mean, you're working in people's blood. You're working in their skin. It's a very intimate relationship in that regard. And then depending on the size and scale of the tattoo, you've got, you know, anywhere from maybe an hour to several hours that you spend with a person in one-on-one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a few different types of clients. There are the collectors who, you know, they might hit it off better with one artist or another, but they want to get something from every artist in a studio.
Oh, it's kind of like a gallery. I want something from everyone. Our phones are starting to light up, so I'd love to take
a
couple callers.
Excellent.
Hi, Kay. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Oh, hi. Hi, James. You know.
Hi, Mom.
Is that your mom?
That's my mom.
Wow. How's he doing, Mom?
I'm doing fine. I was just kind of addressing the 90% of us who have a discreet tattoo and why we get it. I know that when I got mine back in the 70s, I wanted something that would give me flowers year-round. I was born and raised in Alaska, as was James. And in the wintertime, with everything being so dark, I wanted something floral so that I had a little bit of summer all year long. But I also realized at that time that tattoos were very much a cultural thing, and many people that I was around could very likely be offended by them. And so I think the placement of tattoos so that you can display or not display was a critical issue in determining what I wanted and where I wanted it.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Yeah.
Because yours aren't always visible, right?
No. In fact, most of the tattoos I have, most of the pieces are not visible. On a regular basis, they're covered very easily with just regular clothing.
Yeah, so. And Kay, where is your tattoo? Is it on your ankle or something like that?
I have one on my ankle. I have a small chrysanthemum on the inside of my right ankle, and I actually have a very large shoulder piece on my left shoulder that was made for one of those tattoo conventions that I actually didn't end up going to. But that was 8 hours in the chair under the needle doing outlining as well as coloring all at one time. And it's still
8 hours straight, Kay?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a glutton for punishment back then, I'm sure. But the piece is, although it's a whole shoulder piece, it's still small enough that I can wear a T-shirt and have it covered.
Well, that's a really interesting question. I wonder, do you think it's changed? And I'm interested in Lauren and James and Kay. Do you think we're moving away from the feeling that people need to hide their tattoo?
I definitely do. Mm-hmm. I see tattoos everywhere I go, and I'm very interested in where people have gone to, especially if they've gone to Anchorage Tattoo, and why they get them, and why the subject matter.
Mm-hmm. The story, basically, behind the tattoo.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you, Lauren? What do you think?
I think in general, yes, we are kind of moving away from that, and I've actually been really surprised, you know, getting into the world of academia, how few people, you know, have a negative opinion of tattoos. In fact, there are, you know, plenty of people I work with, you know, faculty and whatnot that give me really great compliments on the tattoos that I have and seem very interested. So I think in general we're moving away from it, but I think it does depend upon, you know, your profession and, you know, what maybe the age group of people you're working around. And, of course, the design itself. You never want to offend people, of course. It's very easy to offend some person at some time, you know, with your piece of artwork. But, you know, tattoos, when they're done tastefully, then I think people are interested in them and can see them as pieces of art.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How about you, James? Do you think we've had a change of sea tide here in terms of what people are comfortable showing or viewing?
I think that we're seeing a very positive improvement in that, but it definitely ebbs and flows perpetually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've reached peaks of popularity. They decline. Currently, I think that it's a lot more accepted. And most importantly, I think people are generally seeing tattoos as artwork. Historically, people saw tattoos exclusively as coarse symbolism. You'd get it, you get your Navy tattoo, you get your anchor on your forearm. And I think that most people's opinions about tattoos were formulated in an era where tattoos were just coarse and symbolic and only, you know, for sailors and for more of the underclass.
Yeah.
And so now tattoos, people are recognizing that everyone is tattooed and that it is, in fact, a beautiful form of art. And some people just have to see a high-quality tattoo to break their old stereotype of the old blue.
I have a story to tell about that. It was a friend of mine who's in Anchorage. Her niece got a tattoo, one of those on the small of your back. It was her boyfriend's name. Mm-hmm. And she broke up with him. And her father's advice was, or his comment, you know, now that she has her ex-boyfriend's name on her back, was to say, there's a reason why sailors put mom. Because they can always count on mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to run to a break right now. But really, we've got, I'm just looking at the calls. We're getting a lot of calls. So I think we'll take a little break now. If you've just joined us, our program is about tattoos. We've got James Allen from the Anchorage Tattoo Studio with us and Lauren Caruso, who has some fascinating tattoos that you can see on our website. So you're listening to Hometown Alaska.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy, your host. Today our topic is tattoos and the stories behind tattoos. And we have James Allen with us in the studio. Hi, James, again.
Hello.
from Alaska Tattoo Studio, Anchorage Tattoo Studio, and Lauren Caruso, who is a student, a master's student over at UAA, often studies biology, or studies biology, but often studies moose.
Moose foraging behavior.
And I'd like to welcome to the show, we were hoping we would hear from EJ David. He's from Anchorage, but is in Barrow. Hello, EJ.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. Welcome to the program. I contacted EJ because I saw a little story about him in which a fun fact at the top of the story was that he had a tattoo of the things he most loved on his shoulder. And so I immediately had to email him and say, I'm doing a show on tattoos. Call and tell us about that. So thanks so much. I know you live in Anchorage, but you're in Barrow today.
Yeah, I got to Barrow yesterday, and we'll be here today, but should be back in Anchorage tomorrow. It was a short work trip.
And why don't you just leap in and tell us about, I have a picture of your tattoo on the website, alaskapublic.org, and I actually have both of them, your family one and the script one. So go ahead and tell us about those.
Yeah, well, the family one, that was actually a two-part tattoo. The portraits of my parents and of Jesus and a basketball were my first tattoos. I got those tattoos when I was in high school. A friend of mine did it in my cousin's kitchen with a homemade needle.
Ouch. Legal?
Yeah, it was a single needle, and so it was pretty painful, and it took a long time. So I got those tattoos in high school, and there's a caption above it that says the love of my life. So those were my first tattoos, because my parents and religion and basketball. I know it's kind of silly, but basketball has been very influential in my life.
Also,
maybe something to do instead of doing something else that might not be as good. And then just more recently, just a few months ago, I added to that tattoo, I added portraits of my two children and my wife to complete the left arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How does your family feel about being on your arm?
How do they feel about being my... Well, they like it. I'd like to think that my parents like it, too. They really didn't say too much about it after I got it. So I'm assuming that they're happy and they're fine with it.
Mm-hmm. It's your arm. It's so, your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about your wife?
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't really say anything about it. I mean, she knows how much I care for her. She knows that I love her. You know, I caught the tail end of the discussion before you went on break earlier, and I heard, some comments, or even jokes about how, when people get names of their boyfriends or girlfriends and then they break up, and then so, what happened, right? And now I have a portrait of my wife on my arm.
I think you're going to be solid, right?
A little more stable, yeah.
Yeah, you're married.
Yeah.
And you have had children.
But, my wife and I actually met in Barrow when we were in eighth grade. And so, and we've been together since. And so we've been together and we've known each other for over half our lives. And, I don't think anything is going to happen between us, but even if, we end up, getting divorced or whatever, I mean, she's always going to be an influential part of my life. And, we have children together. And so, she's always going to be a part of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even if we do get divorced.
Now, I know, EJ, that you are a psychology professor, and I just wonder whether you think about it like a psychology professor would think about it, whether tattoos are an empowerment or a self-realization or a self-expression. Did you have thoughts like that? Did you bring your professional mind into this process? I know you were very young when you started. You weren't a psychology professor when you started, but you are today.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't really think of it with, an academic or psychologist kind of a perspective or frame of mind when I was getting my tattoos. My tattoos really are more like personal to me. It's self-expression, especially my other tattoo that I have yet to talk about. You know, my tattoo on my right arm is written in indigenous Filipino script, indigenous Filipino writing. And what it says is in speech, thoughts, and action, true Filipino. That's what my tattoo on my left arm, or right arm says. And so that to me is very, very personal. My heritage is very important to me. And so it's also an expression of my pride, of my heritage. Letting people know who I am, what my culture is, and that I am proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
So my tattoos really are more, I approach my tattoos and, you know, even my future tattoos that I might get in the future, they're all going to have personal meaning to me. It's not really, nothing about, psychology or mm-hmm. maybe personal mm-hmm. psychology, my own psychology, but
mm-hmm.
that's beyond that.
Yeah.
It's all personal.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're going to, the idea that you might have more tattoos is could happen if the right thing comes along. But was there ever a moment when you were holding back or not sure you wanted to do this? Or was it an easy decision to go forward to get tattoos?
It was easy because all of my tattoos, that I've gotten so far, again, are of things or of people that are meaningful to me and that have had a significant impact in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy. To me, there's never going to be a time when I will doubt any of these tattoos. It was more like all of my tattoos are almost like a mark of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am a product of my parents. I am a product of my experiences with my kids and my wife. I am a product of my heritage. I'm a product of my culture. And so I truly believe that it doesn't matter how old I get. It doesn't matter what else happens to me.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things and all of these people that are on me as tattoos are always going to be influential of whatever I become.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One last question, EJ. I've heard a lot of people talk about their tattoos in the amount of hours. Like James said to me, I have 90 hours. Mm-hmm. And his mom, Kay, said, I sat in a chair for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any sense of how many hours you have into your tattoos?
Oh, well, with my first tattoos, because it was done with a single needle.
all day.
That took a long time. That took 2 full days.
Oh wow! I was just joking.
So
oh my goodness!
I was sitting in my cousin's kitchen for like 8 hours one day, and I had to go home and sleep and take a break because my body was tired, and the tattoo artist was tired. And then I had to come back the next day and finish it up, and it was another full day.
Wow.
So 2 full days there.
Right.
And then the other ones were a little bit quicker. The most recent ones I got, there's 3 portraits, so that takes a long time. But even with that, because we did it in a professional tattoo studio, that only took about 4 hours for the 3 portraits.
Per portrait or for all of them?
For all of them, because even though they were portraits, they're pretty small portraits.
Mm, okay.
All
right. Well, EJ, anything else you want to throw in here before we say goodbye?
Yeah, future tattoo. My kids, my wife, I just got those thinking that, I wasn't going to have kids for a while. But a month after I got the portraits of my kids and my wife, we found out that we are pregnant again for a third. And so now I don't know where I'm going to put that third face.
You'll be searching.
Yeah, and still have that, my left arm tattoo look good. Because right now it looks like it's a complete sleeve. So adding just another face to it, will kind of change the look of my left arm. But, so I got to figure out a good way to do this now.
That's something to think about for a while. Right. Well, thank you, EJ. I really appreciate you calling in from Barrow. Thanks a lot. And it was a really great story to hear. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. We're going to go to Chris. Hi, Chris. You're on Hometown Hi, Alaska.
Hi. Yeah, I just wondered, I guess you got the email?
I don't have an email yet.
I sent an email. James did one on my arm in 98 of a Celtic dragon.
Oh.
And that, you know, it was really good work. And I remember he was taking over the shop then from his dad. So thanks a lot, James.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
And there is an email there. It's in my sent box, so I know it went.
Well, it's probably working its way over here. I'll watch for it.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that image?
Well, it was, you know, like you say, it's, you know, we celebrate our ancestry or whatever, you know, and so, you know, I celebrate that part of my heritage. And also I guess I have a thing for dragons, so that just, you know, but I wanted to ask you about just a couple of questions. One was why is it so difficult to go in and have one done, even when you have the idea framed up? I've walked into shops with, you know, a picture in hand of what I wanted and just been turned away. The guy just like, yeah, go back and come back with something else more interesting or something like that. And it's like, really? Now, it didn't happen at your shop, you know, but here in Anchorage, I mean, it just seems like it's very difficult to get people to do the work.
Interesting.
I think a lot of people tend to put their egos in front of their respect for their clients. You know, if you've got an idea that maybe they're not interested in, or if you've got artwork that they don't like, rather than trying to work with you and develop the idea into something that you can mutually find, they'd rather just give you a high estimate, get you out the door, and go back to whatever it is they were doing before.
Was it that you were trying to get, Chris?
Again, well, it's actually a back piece that I'd like to have done of a dragon, and I actually have, like, I've got the wings and I've got the actual dragon already drawn up, and just, you know, so, the guy at the time said, well, it needs to be more stylized or something like that, and I was cool with that. If you wanted to throw some stuff in there, I didn't mind, but, you know, I basically already have a framework set up, and so I was like, well, what's so difficult about this? And besides, it's going to take, you know, I mean, you're not just going to do it in one sitting. It's a whole back piece, so it's like, you know, you got to go back. So there's going to be time and, for discussion and changes if need to be.
Definitely, and that also kind of comes back to what we talked about, developing a relationship with your with your artist. You know, it's the type of situation where you really do need to have a good working rapport with them, where you can exchange ideas freely without having to feel like what you put forward is judged by your artist, and likewise with your artist being capable of hearing your ideas and providing their own input and bouncing it back and forth.
Right.
Well, maybe I'll come in for that back piece. I have one other question. I wanted to know, I can draw. I'm very good at drawing, but obviously tattooing is much, much different on a different level. But where can I go if I wanted to learn to tattoo, if I wanted to learn to do that work my drawing to skin?
Good question, Chris. Yeah.
Well, all tattooing is taught through apprenticeship, stateside, and I guess there's some television show where there's actually a tattoo school, but I don't know any quality studio that would respect a tattoo school's degree.
Oh, really?
It's the kind of thing where, at least in our perspective, we want to work with you, not just teaching you to tattoo and not just taking you as an artist and building you up, but we want to develop an interpersonal relationship and make you family, make you part of our studio and bring you into that. So. Apprenticeship in that regard, you know, we want to have, where am I going with this?
How many hours of apprenticeship do you look for? Say you get a young artist coming in, what are you looking for in that artist?
Well, quality of artwork, of course, portfolio is paramount. however, you know, we've got to be a similar disposition. I don't want to work with somebody that, that has completely different philosophy on life. So it's got to have a solid handshake, good eye contact, and good personable attitude. We're looking for the whole package.
The whole package, right.
As far as getting an apprenticeship goes in this town, the market's pretty flooded right now, and so not a lot of studios are taking on artists. There are studios that will train you as an apprentice for a price, $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever number they put on it. Train you up and then kick you out the door and let you go.
You can get on that steamer and head up to head up to Barrow.
Thank you very much. I hope you find that picture.
I do too. In fact, I'm just going to throw the email out there again for both you, Chris, and anyone else who wants to send us their image. It's hometown@alaskapublic.org. And also the number if you want to talk to James or Lauren or tell us a story about your tattoos is 550-8433 in Anchorage and 1-888-353-5752 statewide. I was thinking we should get to the topic of pain.
Oh, I would love to talk about that.
It wouldn't be right to talk about tattoos without talking about pain. I know certain parts of the body are difficult to be tattooed, from the top of the foot to I don't know where else. But also there's just a personal threshold of pain. So let's talk about that. Who wants to jump in here?
Well, everybody's very different. Personal threshold plays a huge role in it. Another aspect that I find is desire. Again, talking about people getting their Alaska Pride tattoos as they're getting ready to leave state. Say you've got a group of four kids that are all going out to different sides of the nation. Three of them want to get these group tattoos. The fourth one is along for the ride but can't back out. Their tattoo hurts. They don't really want it. They're just there because they've been peer pressured into it or whatever.
And they're squirming and they're not happy. Okay.
So I think a lot of it is desire. Certainly placement has an impact on it. The tighter an area is, bone or tendon, the more sensitive it is. The more muscle and flesh you have in the way, the more it diffuses the energy. So.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It really is different for every person too. I think I have a large piece on my lower back that took, 20 some hours probably. And you know, for me, it really wasn't that painful at all. There were some areas, like kind of going over where some of the organs are located, like where your kidneys are. You know, some of those areas are definitely more sensitive. But then I would talk to friends of mine who got tattoos in, you know, a very similar area, and they were just dying the whole time. So it really does seem to be individual, you know, kind of on a per person basis. And but yet there are some parts of my body I've had tattooed that I swore to myself probably won't ever get tattoos in that area again because
too
it does
tender,
hurt so much. Yeah,
too sensitive.
And it really is, you know, like as James said, if you really do want something, how strong is that desire and how committed are you to it? Then you're willing to go through that discomfort and that pain for however many odd hours it might be. But you really have to psych yourself up. If you go in for one sitting and you know you have two more sittings left, you have to really be mentally prepared to go back in if you know that it's going to be painful.
And you've been in that spot.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, the magpies that I had done that I spoke about earlier, being on my right and left pelvis, is, from what I've heard, one of the most sensitive areas right there on the pelvic bone. And that was the most excruciating time that I've spent under the needle. But for, you know, beautiful artwork, it was definitely worth it.
And you can see her tattoos on our website, alaskapublic.org, and they really are colorful and bright. I'd like to welcome another caller to the show. Hi, Scott. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Good. Hello.
Great. You know, I've been listening to your show, and it's fantastic. I'm an older guy. I'm 50, and I got my tattoo. I like to consider my tattoo to be a traditional tattoo. In the way that I received it, it was 81 or 82, and I stumbled out of a bar on Spinard Road about 3 o'clock in the morning. And across the street, the bar is closed now. It used to be a bar here in town called PJ's, if anybody remembers it.
Oh, sure. Yep. I remember PJ's.
So I stumble out of PJ's 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's a tattoo parlor across the street. The little building is still there, and it's been 1,000 different things since then. So I wander in there, and I was, you know, I think I may have fallen several times by the time I got there.
Oh, no.
I got in, and the tattoo artist was there, and I think he had his girlfriend there. And I look up at the guy and say, I want to have a tattoo. And he says, great, fantastic. So I described to him the tattoo I wanted, and he sat me down and eventually laid me down. And I got my tattoo on my right shoulder. And I've never regretted the tattoo, It's not that I regret it, and I think back to those days, and it reminds me of a time when I was a younger man and I was a different person. But it seems like nowadays, and I have daughters, and two of my daughters have some lovely, very small, lovely tattoos. And I just think to myself, boy, things sure have changed, especially listening to the show today, because the time and effort that people put into what they want to do and the time and effort that the artist put into it mm-hmm. just seems beyond, I would never do another tattoo. But, not because it was a bad experience, but I just, it's not something that I would do. But I always like to think of mine as a traditional tattoo. I was drunk at the time, my response.
That's definitely definitely one element of traditional American yeah. tattooing.
And when I met James, he said to me, we have business hours 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
We're a business. We're not there when the bars close. So you have to have had time to think about your tattoo before you come in. So, you know, Scott, I'm going to move off to some other callers. We just have a few minutes left, and lots of people want to talk to our tattoo artists.
Right.
And so thank you so much for the call. Welcome, Josh. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Hey, everybody. Hey, I just wanted to say hello to James. James did my tattoo back in 1999. And subsequent to that, he tattooed my mom and my sister. He's actually working on my sister, Jenna, right now.
Uh-huh.
And I guess my question is, how often, James, do you see families come in and, you know, kind of a whole family end up getting a tattoo? And if so, you know, are they similar tattoos? Is there themes that run in families?
Yeah. Excellent question. I do see quite a few families coming in. I remember you and I believe I tattooed your dad as well. Oh, no, I tattooed your mom.
Yep, tattooed dad's mustache on mom.
A portrait of your dad's mustache. That was spectacular.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best of all time.
Definitely
is
one
it
of
a
the
handlebar?
Most...
What kind of mustache is it?
It's a handlebar mustache, and I think it's circa 2000.
Oh, that's excellent.
Mom actually picked her favorite stage of the mustache's life and had it tattooed on her calf.
Fabulous, fabulous.
Excellent.
It's alleged that he's had it since he was 11 or 12. I don't know if that's true.
A man boy.
I do get a lot of families come in and get tattoos. Sometimes there's themes involved. A common element, I'm tattooing an Italian family in town right now, is all getting something with Italy in the flag and their traditional last name, not their current last name. Sometimes we do pieces like that. Other times I get families like yours that all comes in to get the same artist or get at the same studio. I've got a lady right now who wants me to tattoo her because both my father and I tattooed her father. And so she would like to get something from
historical.
The lineage.
Yeah, legacy. Yeah. Interesting.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Josh. I'm going to move to another caller. We've got trying to get a couple people in here before we go.
Guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Hello, Helen. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Thanks. I have two specific questions. One, my husband was all involved in a sociological study 60 years ago in Huntsville, Texas, in the prison. And the discovery was that there was a direct correlation between criminality and tattoos. And I wonder if there's any validity to that, and certainly today. Second question is, a lot of women are getting permanent eye makeup, and that involves tattoos of the upper and lower lid and sometimes the eyebrows. Could you speak to whether anyone in town does that? And I'll listen off the radio.
Thanks, Helen.
As far as cosmetic tattooing goes, there are a couple different places that do it in town. I know there's a place called Wake Up with Makeup that specializes in it, and I'm not sure if any of the other tattoo studios currently tattoo it. Larry did for most of his career, but since he retired, nobody's picked up the torch at Anchorage Tattoo. It's not something that we do anymore. As far as the correlation between criminality and tattooing, that's definitely something that's been speculated on over the decades.
I read some things about it, sociologists. There's even a prison tattoo culture.
There is, and actually there certainly is in America. In Russia, it's a very, very prescribed tattoo culture. If you committed this crime, you got that tattoo. If you were on death...
You mean as a point of pride or as a point... I mean, were the authorities putting on the tattoos or were...
No, not the authorities. It was certainly of the prison culture. itself among the
prisoners.
It was
a labeling, kind of a labeling.
Yeah, and some of it, I remember reading an article, particular facial tattoos that were done on prisoners when they were on death row. Mm-hmm. And then they abolished the death penalty in that part of Russia, and these guys were very, very upset because they had just marked themselves permanently as, you know, a walking corpse, essentially, and now they don't get to follow through with their
I saw one reference to teardrops around the eyes that are can signify that you killed someone.
Mm-hmm. That's the common belief.
I would definitely call that criminal behavior.
Yes, and yeah. There's always going to be gang tattoos, or always have been gang tattoos, and there are always going to be tattoos to commemorate a certain association or affiliation, be it, you know, criminal or otherwise. However, as far as mainstream tattooing goes, I think we've gotten quite a ways away from that. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody gets tattooed for every different reason.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to go to another caller. Hi, Mel. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Hello. I wanted to make one comment and ask one question. My comment is I have a couple of tattoos that were done by your dad, Larry, way back in 84 and 85. Got one of Hokusai's views of Mount Fuji on a shoulder and a fireweed up and down my right leg. When I was there talking with Larry, those were back in fairly early days with HIV and AIDS, and I just wanted to say that, you know, he was working really hard at that time to develop better standards for sanitation, you know, just doing it sanitarily and for disease prevention at a time when there was a fellow uptown who had a tattoo studio who didn't even have a bathroom in his studio and would go and take, you know, go to the bathroom out in the alleyway.
Yikes.
So I just wanted to, you know, to really great kudos to Larry Allen for all his efforts to try and improve things back in the day. And then my question was, Larry was also great with doing recovery of, you know, covering over bad, ugly tattoos with beautiful, much better tattoos. And I wanted to know if you also continued doing that type of work.
Most definitely. It's something that we do quite a bit of. The only thing with cover-ups is it usually has to be larger, a little bit darker. But there's a full spectrum of ideas and designs that we can get over tattoos. It's just something that takes a little bit more time and setup to get accomplished properly.
That was, you know, one of the topics that we wanted to get to was regret. And in a way, I mean, your answer to regret is cover-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And I did meet a nurse who had tattoos on her arms, and she had regret. She said she was 15 when she got them. She said, I was trying to cover something up about myself. Now I don't feel like I need to cover that up anymore. So she had a giant dark, like an octopus on one arm that was covering up something that now she wishes that she hadn't done. So regret can be a part of the story as well, we know.
And the best way to avoid regret is research.
Uh-huh. Yes,
Lauren
I would agree.
Yeah.
I have a cover-up, and I was really happy once I got it done. But, you know, you do regret things when you... You know, that you got done when you were very young sometimes. So.
Yes, because you do change. Well, wow, that's so interesting. I do want to direct people to alaskapublic.org because they can see Lauren's tattoo, they can see EJ's tattoo. And I would like to thank our guests, James Allen, Lauren Caruso, and EJ David. Next week on Hometown Alaska, Charles Wolforth will be interviewing Superintendent Jim Browder of the Anchorage School District. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Spack is our engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Touchdown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.